And Joseph, a lot went on for our season three, right?
Yeah.
I'm struggling. Just give me a second. Welcome to the Sibling Sit Down, where brother and sister talk about the beloved New Jersey Mafia hit TV show, The Sopranos. I'm Sarah Stefanelli.
And I'm Joseph Stefanelli. We're going to be taking you through The Sopranos one episode at a time, one podcast episode at a time.
Today we will be discussing the season three finale, Army of One. Can you believe it, Joseph, that we are at the end of the third season?
Third season. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
So that means this is episode 36.
Yes.
86. We still have
39 math. You're the son of a math teacher.
Oh, because there's 13 episodes. So yes. 39.
Just because you only care about the 12th episode doesn't mean that there's not 13.
No, I forgot that there were, I was thinking there was 12. So there's 13.
Yes.
39. Okay.
This is our 40th.
Why is this our 40th? Oh, because we did two for the one with Becca.
Yeah, the first one with Becca.
The first one with Becca.
Yeah, so this is a milestone for us.
Yeah, 40, but we're still not halfway through because we have 46 episodes to go.
Yes.
And that's assuming...
No, we have 47 episodes
to go. I really can't do math.
No, you're really struggling.
So with bonus episodes and everything, we got like... 50 more. I'm so excited. That's awesome.
I'm pumped. All right, Joseph, did you think this was a good season finale?
Yes. This is a great season finale.
I think it's a fabulous season finale. Is it the best season finale? I really like the first season finale. It also ends in Vesuvio's.
Well, three end with a gathering.
What is the second one again?
Meadows graduation.
Yes. When they're all like weirdly looking at the camera and laughing.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not Meadows grad. It is Meadows graduation.
It's Meadows graduation.
It's not AJ's confirmation.
No, that's like middle of season one. Middle of season two. I would say that Pussy's death is still the better season finale, but... this is my favorite finale scene. Like, I love them watching Junior singing. That's my favorite of those three.
I think I'm with you. And I my runner up has to be them in the restaurant at the end of season one. And then cheersing the family. And
which is referred to. There's a callback to it. Carmela says, or Meadows says it. And then Carmela says, actually, your father said that.
Yeah. What is the line?
Someday soon, you're going to have families of your own. And if you're lucky, you remember the little moments. Like this. That were good. Cheers.
Yeah, that's just like a really nice touch that they even brought us back to that. That's a good point.
And a cannoli, it's not the last time we're going to hear it.
Great. It's good. It's a nice concept. Episode summary, Joseph?
I'm ready. Here we go. In the season three finale, AJ gets expelled for cheating on an exam. Tony wants to send him to military school, but Carmela worries about it being too intense. Though the decision is made for them after AJ has a panic attack. The FBI sends Agent Cicerone to befriend Adriana. After the failed card heist, Jackie Jr. is hiding out, though it isn't long until he is shot in the head by Vito, who was sent by Ralphie. Very few people mourn for Jackie Jr. as his death coincides with the Super Bowl Sunday. At the repast, Meadow gets drunk and calls out her father on his bullshit and almost gets hit by a car. This episode aired on May 20th, 2001.
still before 9/11.
Yes, but this will be the last episode that has the Twin Towers in the opening.
Oh, interesting. Really?
Well, it happened after.
So when does the next season premiere?
So season 4 premiered on September 15th, 2002.
That's a big gap.
It's a big gap. Well, I think after season 3, negotiations started, and I think they delayed them. I mean, the gaps in between season 5 and 6, I want to say was 2 years.
Wow. So
there's going to be big gaps coming.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I never knew that, really, or never realized it. That's interesting that they pulled the towers from the opening. Because it can go both ways, right? Well, you could say in honor of it or pull it because it's disrespectful. Like, I feel like both arguments could be made for keeping it or pulling it out. So it's interesting that they chose
that. HBO also did that for Sex and the City. They took out the Twin Towers. So maybe that was kind of HBO's position. We're going to take out.
Sure. Okay.
It's funny. The Sopranos never really acknowledges it, but it does acknowledge repercussions of it. Like, it acknowledges in its own way that it's a whole new world. It acknowledges like fuel costs going up and that there's a war. There's no direct acknowledgement that it happened, but there is acknowledgement of like,
the
you know, it happened
it.
In their world. There's no denying it.
Okay. So it's just strange to think that all three seasons happened pre 9/11.
Yeah. I mean, basically half the
fully.
Show.
Yeah, fully. It's kind of cool. All right. Our favorite scene. I have two and they're both Meadow.
She's great in this episode. I can't argue with that.
Meadow. So I don't know which one it is. That's why I'm hesitating. Right. Meadow and Carmella, when Meadow suggests they killed Jackie.
Look at who his father was. Look at everybody we know.
Let's not get cute.
When I'm being cute, I'll let you know.
Now, you like Jackie, so you don't want to believe that he did this to himself. So like a lot of other people, you go around looking for boogeymen to blame, boogeymen with Italian names. So whatever you're thinking, you just stop thinking it right now, because that is not what happened.
I think that's just a really good scene. Both of them are... It's really, really common that a scene with just the two of them is incredible. And that's one of them. Meadow telling Jackie's sister off in the kitchen after the wake.
And yeah, they brush up against organized crime. But you think they control every slime ball and illegal gun in like 100 communities? But only one will survive. The fact that you would even say this in front of an outsider is amazing to me. Jesus Christ, some loyalty?
It's interesting because Meadow becomes the soldier in this moment, whereas AJ, we're learning, is not the soldier, literally and figuratively, right? Yeah. Because he's military is not going to work out for him. And Tony's telling Melfi, my son could never handle this, right? So it's interesting that Meadow is the one that steps up in that moment.
I think, and also she's becoming her mother.
Yeah.
You know, more and more as the series goes on, I think we see her slowly taking on Carmella-isms, which I think is Carmella's greatest fear, at least for Meadow, is her greatest fear that she'll become her. But yet it's kind of inevitable.
Do you have a fear that your kids will become you?
I want better for them. Do I have a fear? No. I mean, I think it's inevitable that kids become their parents one way or another. I mean, we did.
Yeah, we did.
You know, your dad, totally. I'm mom. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
We love it that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's the way it's supposed to be. I'll skip to my big one. I do have some runners up, but because I agree with you, I will skip. My main one is if you were to cut the scene you picked about boogeymen with Italian names, but then like merge it into the car scene. It's a tie.
Yeah.
The two Meadow Carmella scenes are by far my favorite scenes in this. The car scene is unbelievable.
It is.
Because, again, I love these two actresses are brilliant at doing scenes where both characters are right.
Yeah, you've said this before, and I notice it now, and it's an interesting noticed thing
it's just
that you have here.
Yeah. About them that they do this. And you know, Meadow's right when she says Jackie didn't have parents that care, and that's what happens. And then Carmella says, I see what you I'm glad you see. And she's right. You are using it as an excuse. That's not what Meadow means. She's actually just what Carmela should have just said is thank you. Like, but there's not. There is this underlying subtext of, well, that's why I'm going to control you and your brother for as long as I can. And, right. And Meadow's a whiny teenage girl, but she's right.
Right.
So I love that. I love the sit down. It's funny. It's really unusual that Tony sides that way. And I think there's subtext about he's still pissed about Pine Barrens. And I do think that Paulie is right to maybe think I need to go to New York. Like, I think it really sets up Paulie being like, hey, Johnny, if Carmine needs anything kind of storyline. But there's definitely something going on with Tony. Tony's wrong. 12K is really a slap in the face when he's asking for 50.
Agreed. And really, Paulie's been ignored, is being ignored this whole episode over and over again. You kind of like this poor guy, even Furio falling on the ice, right?
Yeah.
They're not even done with the sit down. And right. Your heart kind of goes out to Paulie. Question for you. Was Jackie Jr. dead by the time the sit down happened?
Yes. It was after the wake.
Okay. Your face says you're not sure, but your voice says it. No,
I'll tell you why I know, because I had a moment watching the show when the wake happened. I said, wait a minute, the sit down hasn't happened yet. Oh, and I'll prove it to you, because Paulie even says to Tony at the wake, can we talk about our sit down? He says, Jesus Christ, can I bury my best friend's kid?
You're absolutely right. So,
but I remember going, wait a minute. But then they jump. I forgot that the wake and the funeral are two different things. And I forgot there's time in between these two events. So I had the same thought as you did.
I'm with you on your theory then, because in back-to-back episodes, this episode and the one previously,
I think he
says this to Ralphie then too, but this whole idea of letting the captain decide what to do, apparently Ralphie made the right decision, whereas Paulie did not, because Paulie did not want to go back and find the Russian as a captain, right? And Tony says to both of them, like, well, you're the captain, you're a captain. So it's almost like he's training them literally as a boss, like trying to get them to grow. And he's rewarding Ralphie for being a good captain over Paulie.
I mean, Paulie sees it. I mean, he's tired of Ralphie getting, all the scowl.
Oh, interesting.
Scowl? What is it?
I don't know.
Scroll?
I don't know.
And the repast is an unbelievably good scene. From the moment he walks in and says goodbye to Paulie to the end of the episode is just perfect.
And one of my favorite moments of the repast is when Syl, that guy, I can never literally remember his name. Why can't I remember that guy's name? The guy who threatened Gloria?
Patsy.
Oh my God, why? My brain just like blocks it out. Silvio, Patsy, and Christopher, when they come back. Yeah. And everyone goes, hey, they're back. Like it's such a good feeling. To such a sad gathering.
Yeah.
It's a good finale moment. They're like, yeah, they're here. It's all good.
And I like that Syl's like with his wife. It's very subtle, but he's like, come here, baby. Come here. Give me a hug. Oh, like it's
right.
Nice.
They love it. Well, I'm a big fan of her.
You know, it's his real wife, right?
I do. I do. And I think she's just so good. And when they're it actually goes into one of my favorite quotes when they're arresting him at the burial, and when the FBI and he just goes,
every fucking Super Bowl a day grabs a few popcorn headlines. Yeah, go ahead. Last year I made bail so fast my soup was still warm when I got home.
That is all of that. That whole line is so funny, and she's standing there like she is just, she's annoyed, but I don't think she's annoyed at him.
Oh no, not at all.
She's so annoyed by the FBI. She has those awesome glasses on, like she just looks amazing, and it's just, they're cute. I always enjoy them at all, anytime they're together. It's very cute. She's very supportive.
Yeah, I agree.
So that is my favorite line. I have one honorable mention, and it's more serious than that. But when Tony says chain of command is very important in our thing, just a good reminder for us as an audience.
And well delivered.
Well delivered. Ralphie needed to hear it. It just kind of set things up well. So I liked that line a lot.
I actually have, I make fun of you all the time, but I actually have more than you do.
Nice.
Sometimes you're hungry on the way home and you think about there's leftover this and someone fucking ate it. And I truly connect to our anti-hero when he...
I've been dreaming of that fucking lo mein all the way the fuck over here. Now who came in here and ate my shit?
It's so relatable. But for me, it wouldn't be lo mein if someone ate an egg roll that I was waiting for. Like if we're sticking with the Chinese leftovers, if someone ate an egg roll that was in the fridge, I would flip a table.
I don't eat leftover Chinese food.
I get that.
I don't. For me, it would be like, it would actually be more Italian. Like if I had a half a chicken parm sub that we ordered the night before and I wanted it and that would just infuriate me.
Would you scream at your family like that though?
I would not scream at my family, but I would say something like, I do believe that once you put something in a fridge, it's everyone's. I don't believe we lay claim to food. So if I put leftover chicken parm in the fridge, it is everyone's. But what gets me is when it's thrown away. Like if my wife goes, well, it was taking up room and you were never going to eat it. No, I'll decide if I'm not going to eat it. That just infuriates me. So that's what it is. And another question we don't know, who killed where's the Russian? Who slashed the tires? Who ate that fucking lo mein?
And what was in the box that Gloria threw in the water?
I still don't know what was in that box.
Oh my God. Okay.
My next one is a great Ralphie line.
You're late.
Well, tomorrow I can be on time. But you'll be stupid forever.
Hey, sit down. Sit the fuck down and shut up.
I would use that to people. That's a great line.
The guts that Ralphie has to show up to a sit down like that. I just like Ralphie. Oh my God.
But it's a perfect time for him. He just killed his girlfriend, fiance. I have no idea what Rosalie is at this fucking point, but he just killed. So like, don't mess with him. Like he has the right to just say, shut the fuck up, Paulie. Like I'm 2 minutes late.
Well, they say his stepson.
Fuck you talking about?
Your future stepson. Card game, come on. He pissed on your leg.
I was going to bring that up later. Yeah. What's...
So I think they're engaged. But then he spends the night at his Gumar's house because his fiance won't stop crying because her son just died. You like grief. Almost feel bad for Ralphie during all this. And then you're like, oh no, you're a monster. Like, I forgot. Thank you for reminding me to have no pity for you whatsoever.
Anyway. And on that same note. At the wake, of course, I mean, you know, Rosalie is incredibly painful to watch as she screams for her son. Where's Ralphie? Is Ralphie even at the cemetery? He should be holding her up. He should be behind her at the very least. And where is he?
You're right. He didn't get arrested by the FBI. I'm trying to think, like, where could he?
No, because he walks in the house. Remember when he very again, an insensitive moment, they bring Rosalie to the bedroom and he sits and turns on the TV.
Well, it is the Super Bowl.
What?
Which is fitting because we just found out as we record that who's going to the Super Bowl. Don't ask me who it is, but I know that we know.
Oh, it's the San Francisco City. 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, okay. I didn't know the other one. I know Taylor Swift's boyfriend's going to the Super Bowl.
By the time our listeners are now screaming, and so-and-so won, so.
Oh, yeah. So. I hope I'm rooting for Taylor Swift's boyfriend because I think that's fun. I don't really know football.
I'm rooting for them to get engaged at the end.
At the end? Like, at what are end. You going to do now that you won the Super Bowl? Right. And he should be like going to Disney World. And he's like, oh, I'm going to propose to Taylor Swift. Like, that's epic. Yeah, I'm with you. I like that.
I like Let's them together. That. I think they're cute.
What if it happens and we could just called it? Wow. That's fun. Oh. That's really fun.
But
do you have other lines? Oh, you do.
I have a winner.
You have the winner.
Those were my runners up. The winner. And I do think it's the best moment of the show is between Melfi and Tony.
You don't understand.
Make me understand.
It's an incredibly genuine moment. It is, I think, a subtext of sexuality. There's something, I just, her breathiness is kind of like, they can't have sex, but that's just with their words. They kind of are like, they have intimate moments that therapists and their patients don't have. And that's one of them. She
won't
tell me the truth. Tell me something that can help me understand how you're feeling. Tell me you murdered someone. Tell me something I need to know. And, you know, of course, his silence, he can't.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. I can kind of see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. That's your favorite line. I'm surprised, though.
I think it's the line of the show, of the episode, and possibly the show. You know, I think it's one of those that just like, that's what the show's about. Make me understand.
Like the mob in your world. Just right. Make us all understand this. Ooh. Okay. I like that theory. Do you have, I don't have a theme.
You know, this is one where I got stuck on my own words because the topic is clearly individuality. I mean, every single thing is about
the core
army of one. I mean, it's all about being yourself and doing things for yourself. So I had to really think, but what are they saying about that? And ultimately I got, it's not possible. Individuality is not really a possibility. We are always going to be influenced by those around us. And those of us that do go on our own will not survive well. We do need others in our lives. I mean, even the opening scene, AJ's friend says, I got to pee. And he immediately has to pee. Like his need is to follow. I'm going to follow that guy and we're going to pee together. And I mean, that's a comical, stupid way of putting it. But that's the whole episode. Jackie's the only person that's alone. And he gets killed. And even he's not really alone because he has to go with Omar from The Wire, you know?
Omar from The Wire.
Ray Ray and his daughter.
He's also who's adorable.
She really is.
Really, really good. He's also Chalky White. Do I have his name right? In Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, you liked that show. I never got into that show.
It just takes place another one. It's a mob story that took place in New Jersey. So I stopped. This is horrible. I stopped in the middle of season three.
It started right after The Sopranos. It was like, okay, Sopranos is over here. Here's your next show.
It's so good. And then I just like lost interest in the middle. But I'm not a good example of a TV watcher.
Yeah, you're not a good TV watcher.
Which is, I know I'm doing a podcast about a TV show. But this keeps my attention, so that's good.
Well, I'm glad, because if you give up on it, it's going to be really embarrassing.
Yeah, it's going to be like, oh, well, that was boring. It's definitely not boring.
Would I just call it the sit down? Sitting here by myself talking if you left?
Just the sit down, and there would be no gun in like the title anymore. Like, you know, that cute little thing we have. Just the sit down. You kind of sold me on the army of one idea, and that Jackie died alone, which is super sad. And I cried when AJ told Meadow.
Is that how you'd want to know? Would you want me to call you like that?
Yeah, sure.
Like, I think he meant well, but just the way it's done is kind of in a clunky, AJ way.
Well, he's a 14-year-old idiot. But so I think that it's fine that he called her and that her brother told. I mean, it's her brother. If you called me and told me something, I mean, it's you. It's fine.
Yeah.
I think the weirdness of that is that they didn't call her immediately. You'd think Carmela would go, I have to get Meadow on the phone now before she finds out from anyone else. That would be my first reaction as her mom.
Yeah, but, you know, there was no social media. There's no texting. I mean, really, the game of telephone takes a lot longer. And Rosalie's her mother.
I didn't think of that. Yeah. She's not going to find out on the internet.
No.
She's
right.
Right. OK, that's totally fair. Symbolism. I had a bit.
Yeah, I have a couple.
There's a lot to unpack. Do you want to go back and forth?
I do.
Lena's dad, who we just mentioned, Lena is adorable and very, very good, taught her chess. And we learned that right after Jackie Jr.'s dad, we learned that his dad didn't teach him anything.
I'll piggyback on that. The first and only move we watch Jackie do is that he moves his pawn too far, which is exactly what he does. He goes too far in the mob and gets himself killed. And then, of course, you know, he's elevated from a game from Scrabble to chess, which I see as like him, again, going beyond his scope of knowledge.
Sure.
He can maybe handle being shitty at Scrabble, but Jackie's not learning how to play chess right now. That's not what he's going to do.
The poo.
Ass.
Oblique. Oh, ass. Oblique. Okay. I don't know what it symbolizes, but I have to call it out. We see toothpaste again. The Crest toothpaste. Ralphie goes into a drawer after talking on the phone with Ro.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And he takes out Crest toothpaste, like out of a junk drawer. And remember we said when Christopher was hooking up with the redhead in D-Girl that there was something with toothpaste in the mirror and it was Crest and we couldn't figure it out? That's why this jumped out at me. Like, why is he randomly going to the drawer and taking out toothpaste?
Because he's brushing his teeth for his Gumar. Wait, you bring up a very good point. Crest toothpaste might symbolize having affairs. So we've got to keep an eye on that.
It would have been a good placement if that was the case. If when Jackie called Meadow to lie about the mechanic, remember?
Yeah.
He has cologne in the mirror, but it would have been a good fit if he was brushing his teeth.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's keep an eye on toothpaste. But that stood out to me because of D-Girl.
I mean, there's definitely a focus on it. I mean, they show Ralphie grabbing.
Yeah.
But then when you learn he's with Gumar, I just kind of associate with he just wanted to have good breath for he's going to go have sex with a woman. So
sure,
I just figured.
It's fair. Okay.
Call back to the popular scene where AJ's reading Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening and Meadow tells him that snow is death. Jackie drops into a pile of snow. Yeah. Face first when he gets shot.
Endless
by
boy.
His cousin.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Okay.
So we had mentioned in a previous episode, we were like kind of going around it because we couldn't dive in because it was a spoiler. And even Adriana says to Daniela, oh, he was my cousin, referring to Jackie. So we confirmed that Adriana is Jackie April's cousin.
Correct. Well, because he's Richie's niece.
On his wife's side.
Correct.
But doesn't that make... How does that relate her to Jackie then, Junior?
Well, that doesn't really bother me. I mean, she referred to him as cousin. It's what bothers me is that when Vito's brother was in the hospital for getting hit by Mustang Sally, Jackie's at the hospital and Tony says, "What the fuck are you doing here?" He goes, "I can't visit my cousin." So if Vito's brother is Jackie's cousin, I don't care if it's by marriage. I don't care if it's by blood. I don't care. Why then Vito's his cousin and you sent his cousin to shoot him in the back of the head?
I mean, we saw a guy murder his godson. I don't think they really care.
Godson's not blood, though. I don't know. It just that struck me.
It depends. My godson's my blood. It doesn't have to be, but it could be.
It's weird. I think it's weird. And I dare I say, I think it was a blooper.
To send Vito there.
No, I think it was a blooper to say, I can't visit my cousin. Like, there's nothing added to have Jackie. You could have just said, I'm here to visit my friend.
Yeah, like, Jackie I can't visit my friend. Yeah.
Right. I think that was the blooper, like saying cousin.
Hmm. Okay. Melfi has this moment of being very sarcastic when she says, "You certainly saw it coming with this boy, didn't you?" Like, she knows Tony killed him.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Tony's people killed him.
Oh, sure.
Oh, it's chilling. It's chilling.
I really love, just symbolically, you know, throughout this whole season, the correlation between AJ and Jackie and Christopher is in there, unfortunate son. But I mean, clearly this whole episode is Jackie and AJ. But I particularly love how the show constantly tricks us into believing that we're about to see one character, but we see the other. Even the opening, you know, we left Armor Fu with this, okay, Jackie's in trouble. That's the cliffhanger. And we expect that to be the first scene. Like, even like the fact that they're down in a dungeon and we don't know where he is. Well, it could be Jackie hiding out somewhere. Sure. Jackie's hiding, but it's not. It's AJ doing something stupid. You know, he's cheating. And even the phone call. There's that phone call that Paulie gets and he says, it's Carmela. She's crying. I mean, of course, that's Jackie's dead. But right. It's not. It's not. AJ. Like, just these constant head fakes that they do is really great to keep our mind going. Wait a minute. Which one of the fortunate sons are we talking about? I just absolutely love how they do that throughout the whole show.
I agree. So the commander in the army, when they go visit the school, he's smoking a cigarette out the window. Mm. And we said this shows signs of weakness, which is interesting because I don't think that man is a weak man at all, but he isn't going to win this argument with the Sopranos.
Or at least with Carmela, right?
Sure.
I agree. But there must be something, too, about him waving it out, too. I think there's something to be said, like he's pushing the smoke out the window. Like, okay, he wants it in an opposite direction. Like, he doesn't want it to blow. Like, he's hiding it, maybe. He's trying to hide his weakness.
Okay.
I'm spitballing. I don't know if that really is something, but I think that was an interesting move that he was doing. I don't think that's just politeness, because I don't think he has a need to be polite. It's his office.
Maybe he just isn't allowed to be smoking, and he is.
Oh, that could be. You're right. It could be that he's not allowed.
But then would you do that in front of parents you just met if you're not allowed to smoke? It just doesn't seem...
If you know,
you're
he's
right,
a monster.
It is weird.
He knows who Tony Soprano is.
Does he?
Sure. Tony Soprano is well known enough that he knows who he is. You don't think that guy's investigated?
Yeah, that's fair.
A guy
like who
that's
this
coming.
Kid is. Yeah, you're right.
AJ has a failed heist in this episode.
He does.
Again, another connection between him and Jackie.
It's really stupid that they wrote the same exact answers down.
That's how I catch kids, too.
It would have been less weird if they both got hundreds, because at least Correct. Then they just both got all of them right.
Really, the smart thing was both of you get 80s,
or just someone takes a 95 and someone takes a 90. Like, don't do that, dumbasses.
Yeah, but as a teacher, I'm going to say if the kid is dumb as AJ, even if he were to get a 90, I'd go, what happened? You got to know how to cheat.
Okay.
You don't jump from getting 50s on quizzes to 90s. You got to ease
96,
up.
96.
Ease into it.
So when Carmela and Tony have their blowout fight about the military, if you just take out military, this whole conversation is her yelling about AJ not going into the mob.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this scene where they're both scared, and it's very sad.
And don't you think it's like the unknown? They don't know what's going to happen to him. Meadow's going to be fine. We know Meadow's going to be fine. But AJ's lost. Like, we have no idea what's going to happen to AJ.
Yeah. It just really stood out to me. Like, this could be about the military, but it's also about the becoming a soldier in Tony's army as well. Then she's just saying, no, he's not going to do that either.
You know, I know we don't want to spoil too much, and there's a whole cannoli section, but I think it's worth noting this whole episode is kind of the start of AJ's second half. Like, this kind of is a cannoli for what AJ is going to do for the next three seasons.
Well, this episode actually sets us up for a lot of storylines.
AJ does. Being
one of them. AJ being like, his story is about to really start.
Right. But that's just it. Like, I think earlier in the season, we said that Carmela's kind of full show series arc starts here with her division in self-conflict of what I'm a wife of a monster, so on and so forth. But then right now, this episode, I would say this is AJ's beginning of, you know, AJ's been like a punk. He's been a pain in the ass kid. But now we're seeing him like, well, wait a minute. We don't know where AJ's going. And AJ's a true concern now.
Right.
Agreed. So I think this episode is really a peak for him. I also think he's really good in this episode.
He is. And also when he starts crying, when he's wearing the uniform, dude, my heart goes out to him too. That's
and
tough.
He calls himself a jerk off, which is again an individual act.
Ew. Yeah, sure.
That's chosen on purpose.
Okay.
Because it's a term that he doesn't use.
Yeah, it did seem out of place. It was weird. So AJ got the panic attack gene, but not the mob gene, because Tony confirms that with Melfi. That's not going to work. Why are you laughing?
This is the way you said it. I found it funny.
Just the way I said it?
This is the way you said it. There is a really interesting correlation between the sergeant's the core, and then Junior singing Ungrateful Heart, which is core ingrato.
Here the higher good is the good of the core, as General MacArthur said in his farewell address at the point. The core, the core, the core.
Core, core ingrato.
I think that song was chosen in particular to remind us of the core, the core, the core, because it's a group. We are all a group. We are together. Okay. And that's what the Junior's the leader. He is the sergeant of this group, not Tony. It is Junior. So I like that. I like that we bring that idea back.
I think it's a stretch, but I don't hate it. Oh my God.
I worked hard on that mix. I worked hard on that.
And listen, your editing skills are wonderful. I think it's a little reach, but it's okay. It's okay. Do you think Dominic's good singing?
I do.
I do too. I enjoy it.
I think he's better than Jamie.
Well, we know that you think that. I think Jamie's jealous. That's why she starts throwing bread at him.
I do too.
Yeah.
He had an album.
He had an album?
Called Hits.
Just Hits. It's like a mob.
Mob Hits. Yeah.
It's a mob joke. That's funny. Yeah.
I actually think he had two. I have to check. I've been getting conflicting reports, but I believe he had two albums. But Ungrateful Heart, I know, is on one of them.
I think he's great. I think that scene of him singing to them and them all crying, and you know, it's really good to see him. He beat cancer. He's eating a meal and enjoying it. And he says, this has changed my outlook on life. And they're all crying. And I think it's such a beautiful thing. End the season that way. Why did they cut in other music?
A lot of people don't like that choice. And it's not even other versions of that song.
It's when two I first other heard, songs, right?
It's two like, completely
it's
different songs.
So weird.
But yet they kind of have the one, the woman. It almost sounds like he's lip syncing to her. When I first couple of times I saw it, I thought, oh, or is this song in other languages?
Okay.
But it's not. It's completely different songs.
That's
which
a good guess.
Me.
It is so strange. Like, what a beautiful ending to have it just silent and him just still singing to everybody and then the credits roll. Like, that would have been gorgeous.
So you want to see his lips, but you want no sound?
No, just finish the song.
Oh, got it. Okay.
And then, or have him singing over the credits even. Yeah. Why? That annoyed me a lot.
It is a fan issue. Fans often complain about that. I've read a lot of things online of like,
it's
why
not
did they
even
do that?
A good cut.
It's not.
It's just choppy and yeah, not a fan. Not a fan.
They should have asked me to cut it.
They should have.
I could have.
And you would have just been like, the guy would have showed up and been like, the core, the core, the core. It would have been perfect. Nope. Everybody would have gotten that symbolism tie if you edited the episode.
My only one is, it's very symbolic and beautiful, that final image of Tony, AJ, and Carmella sans Meadow. I mean, she's out. She's gone.
But is she out? Like, for realsies?
No, she'll be back, but she doesn't want to be part of this anymore. She's And very much her story of season three ended. She's grown. She's a different character than who she was in episode one. I think that's
fair. I also really like the moment where Tony simply, AJ looks like he's a mess. His shirt's untucked. It, like, why does he look like that at a repast? Like, tuck your shirt in. And it was like very strange, but just the subtlety of Tony putting his arm around him and saying, stand here and be, it was just like, be quiet and stand still. And it was just this calm moment where maybe that's what AJ needs. Yeah. Just a calm moment to say, dude, just stand here and take a deep breath. Watch your Uncle June sing this beautiful song. And it's kind of like maybe they don't need to go to the extreme of sending him to military school for them to start reining him in. And it just was a good ending for the two of them, I think.
I agree. That's also one of the most popular images from The Sopranos. The three of them standing there. It's just a very, like, if you
really
look at old advertising, yeah, the three of them and with Carmela's hand on her chin.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a that's a very popular image okay. of the three of them together. Yeah.
Okay.
So what does the title mean? It is an actual slogan of the army at the time.
Really?
Yes, it is okay. not. It this was the slogan they took. So I want to say it's be the best you can be. That was the slogan for like 30 years.
Okay.
And then around 2000, give or take, it became be an army of one.
Okay.
But that it didn't last long. I think literally they agreed, like, well, wait a minute, what are we saying here? Because
right. we're
not individuals. We want to be an army. We want to be all as one group,
but
not one right. person. It didn't work. So yeah. they got rid of it.
Okay.
I mean, my only other thing is, you know, Jackie was alone.
I will add that Meadow is also alone. She's an army of one as well.
And literally marches across the street alone. Like, she marches away.
Yes. And really almost gets hit by a car. Very kind. Yeah. Very scary.
That's another very famous moment from the show. Like, when people think of Meadow, they often think of that line. Like, I remember that always being played on. Like, if you ever watch a montage of, like, let's see a recap of everything in The Sopranos, that's always a moment.
This is such bullshit!
Meadow!
That's just a very famous moment.
Huh. She plays a drunk person so well.
Yes.
It's perfect.
And Cosmos will do that to you.
Cosmo, well, she's drunk before the Cosmo.
Yeah.
But it's... her progression of being drunk, she's like tired in the car drunk, like she's calm, and you know when you just like you finally like yeah. sit and then you're tired.
She's drinking straight vodka,
yeah,
no ice, no mixer.
Well, she's
guzzling it.
She's a freshman in college, so she
can you
do
that. Were you ever able to do that, drink vodka like it was water like that?
We used to take shots of vodka, yeah, to go out in college.
Oh, I could never.
A shot is different than just like sipping warm vodka.
She's just sipping it. I almost think it's a little unrealistic the way they're doing it.
Call back to the Russians, baby.
Oof, it really.
Yeah, so she has the vodka, then you see where the Cosmo, then she's drinking. Well, I'm surprised she didn't vom.
I'm sure she did on the way home.
Ugh, on the bus?
On the bus, or at least when she got back to her dorm. I'm sure Caitlin was holding her hair back.
Oh my god. Well, she just brilliant acting. She's just brilliant this whole scene. I mean, this whole episode. Season, really, but
the whole
really,
season.
Really good.
I think it actually is a little crazy that she wasn't nominated for an Emmy. I think she's worthy of a nomination.
I think that's very disappointing that she wasn't. Hmm. And she never is, Joseph, for the whole.
Never is. I think children in general never do. Very rarely do children get nominated for
Emmy
awards.
She's not a child.
Yeah, but she was when she started. And I think that once you are a child, you don't lose that until you're older. Listen, I'd have to go through the nominations, but I'm sure she was worthy of a nomination. And he is too, I think. Like, I'm not a fan of AJ the character, but I think Robert Iger is fantastic on this show.
But
we hate him so much because of him. Oh, no. He gets a season. He'll have a season.
Right. Okay. Hold on a second. I'm going to look up the Emmys. Okay. So the nominees for Best Supporting Actress.
You looked this up. You really felt the need to look this up?
Yeah. I'm curious. I mean, who? She didn't even get nominated. So okay. Tyne Daly for Judging Amy. Lauren Ambrose for 6 Feet Under. Yeah. That's okay. Mary Louise Parker for The West Wing.
Oh, fuck her.
Whoa, okay.
I hate her character. I don't even
recognize that person on West Wing. Who was she on West Wing?
She was a glorified guest star. She's Bradley Whitford's love interest in that season.
Okay.
She was Janelle, not guest. She was supporting actress.
Yes. Janelle Maloney. For the West Wing?
Donna on the West Wing.
Yeah, she's Donna. Good. And Stalker Channing won for the West Wing.
Of course she did. Because this is the season that Alice and Janie decided, I'm going to move myself to lead to give Stalker Channing the win.
Right. So,
which is why Stalker Channing's not on there. But which is why Alice and Janie's not on there.
Right. So you think that this could have been Jamie instead of Mary Louise Parker?
Or Tyne Daly.
Okay.
As much as I love the legend that is Tyne Daly, no, she did not need to be up there for Judging Amy.
Okay.
No, one of those could have been booted and give it to Jamie. She's delightful.
Jamie Lynn.
And speaking of which, is the most valuable Goomba, right?
Yes.
Yes. I don't think it's debatable.
It's not. And you know what? I was thinking like, okay, who's furthering the plot more? And like the puppet master of all this really was Ralphie for killing Jackie. But he's just not. It Meadow and her reactions. And now that she's deciding to kind of believe that her family could have killed him and calling out her mom saying that she controls her kids. I just think she got it.
I agree.
And throwing bread at her uncle, which is so uncomfortable. I can't get over it.
Oops. Ah, this
again. And you're like, are you serious? It's so embarrassing. It's so cringy. It's
but they
bad.
Keep singing and they keep watching. It's like they know, like, ignore her, which almost makes it more cringy.
Oh, it's so bad. See, she wanted to sing. She wanted to get up and sing Britney Spears and no one invited her.
That was the best singing she's done on the season.
Shut up.
It was.
Oh my God. All right. If we pulled the shit, made us.
Before we go to the next check. No.
What?
Do you notice that it's unusual that they use a song again in another episode? Oops, I Did It Again was in Employee of the Month. When she discovers that her rapist is the Employee of the Month, when she's at that restaurant, Oops, I Did It Again is playing.
That's
a weird thing to use again.
Interesting. Maybe that was just Britney's time.
Oh, that was a huge song at that time. Absolutely.
Yeah. Jackie's coat, his big puffer jacket that he dies in, is the most 2001 thing I think I've ever seen.
Oh, you jumped right in. We're jumping right in. You fuck Britney Spears. We're going into what reminds us of us.
I just wanted to mention the timing of the 2001-ness of his giant space coat. Like, NSYNC wore that, which we see that poster against. Yes. She has two. Because that shit's hanging on her college dorm wall and her bedroom at home. Like, she's like, no, I can't live without my No Strings Attached poster. I had the same poster hanging in my room.
I know you did.
I feel like that is a blooper.
You think so? That you think the dresser fucked up?
Yeah, I do. They're like, oh, what's Meadow's things? It's like, nah, you're in the wrong room. Guys. All right. If we pull this shit, something that made us go, oh, my God, that's us. Carmella saying come here you to Meadow made me get the chills. That's exactly how mommy would say it and say that exact thing in that exact situation. If God forbid that ever happened, she would take my arm and go, come here you, and walk in with me.
Yeah. No, I know.
Perfect mom like moment for Carmella there. So is that a thing? Getting to a sit down first, because Paulie says, I'm even here first when he shows up. Is that a power struggle thing? Because you get to our sit downs every other week first. So does that make me have the upper hand?
No, I think it's the fashion.
Today I got
thing.
Here first, which is weird. I was like, is he okay? And then you're because you're not I'm an on-time person. You're I'm late unless I'm 10 minutes early person. Yeah.
And by the way, you are late to me.
Oh, completely. But I'm on time every time.
But you're not.
I am, though.
You're not. Clocks. You should be ready to start at the time. No. No, I think everyone should show up everywhere early.
Okay. So we learned that I'm just ignoring you. We learned that I'm like 7 minutes late to every single thing that I show up to. Okay, but I'm either on time. For you, I'm on time because I know you'll like have a conniption if I'm not. But like I'm one of those people like no one thinks of me as a late person because like 7 minutes is not actually late. It's like, oh, no one remembers that. But I'm just a time optimist. In my head, everything takes 15 minutes. Everything. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. It takes 15 minutes.
See, and I think everything takes an hour.
Well, that's why you're early to everything.
I do.
There we go.
My commute to work, which is in theory 2 miles, I think a half hour. What time's that thing? It's at 6. I'll leave at 5:30. I'm there by 5:40.
This is something that we just don't. Like, I know we have a lot in common. This is just not. Like, I'm like, oh, it takes 14 minutes to get there. I'll get in my car 14 minutes and 30 seconds and I'll get there on time. And I get there on time sometimes, maybe 7 minutes, up to 7 minutes late.
Because you don't know if the light's going to be red or if there's going to be an accident.
Yeah, and I'm stressing every time I go anywhere. it's me. I'm the problem.
I'm the problem too.
But how are you stressed? You're not going to be. Okay, we have to move off. This is ridiculous. All right. So we learned that Jackie Jr.'s name is Giacomo.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like when I learned that our grandfather's name was Giuseppe at his funeral. It was on his prayer card. And I was like, Giuseppe? And you were like, yeah, his name's Giuseppe. Like never, never, never in my life did anyone tell me that or did I know that?
I knew before that because I remember having the conversation with our grandfather. And I specifically remember, and I'm sure our father shaking his head that this is not what happened. But I remember being at our dining room table, him saying, well, my name's Giuseppe. And then I asked, what's your middle name? And he said, I don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
And then That's our dad went, wait, I don't have one either. So our father went, does that mean I'm a junior? Because our father never believed he was a junior, because I'm not a junior, because I have a different middle name.
Right.
But then our grandfather going, but no, but my name's Giuseppe. And dad was like, but my name's Joseph. That's just the English version. And then we literally didn't know the answer. So we kind of left it like that. Are you a junior if his legal name is Giuseppe, but if our father's legal name is Joseph, what's the...
So that's interesting. I also have another question, a more dumb question than that, I think.
Okay.
Do you have to name a kid junior for them to be a junior?
You have to have the same full
name. That's just a status. Like, that's just a thing.
You have to have a first and middle name.
But right. I understand that. But if on your birth certificate, does it have to say like Joseph Stefanelli Jr.? For it to be accurate, or is it like you just are because it's a status that you have because you were given the same name?
I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. I can't answer that question. It's another interesting thing that's kind of related is around the time right before my son's birth, the baby shower that you all threw for Carolyn, the men all went out to dinner or lunch, whatever.
That's the day I named Adam. Go on.
Yes. That we were all sitting and somehow names got brought up. And I said, well, I'm named after you, Dad. And he said, no, actually, you're named after your grandfather. And I go, yeah, but it's your father. It's the same. He goes, no, you're named after your other grandfather. And I went, no, his name was Merrill. I have his middle name. And they went, no, his name's Joseph Merrill.
Which blew your mind.
Because that's my name. And I just never realized. So like I've been all this time, I thought like I was like a long line of Josephs, but I'm not technically. I'm a new line of Joseph, just named after someone else.
That side of the family does that. They go by their middle names. That's like a thing.
We have a cousin that does that. We have. Yeah. And our grandfather did that. I honestly, and for some reason, I believed his name was Merrill Joseph. I knew Joseph was involved.
That's what I thought. And you had like the swap and they went with Joseph because it's not the name Merle, no offense. And then it's Joseph and your dad, blah, 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 blah.
So yeah, it's just, it baffles me about how people are named and stuff. And that was just a big one.
Jackie Jr. is Jackie Jr., then his dad had to be Giacomo as well.
You think, unless the Sopranos is as confused as I was. So a few episodes ago, and I got a lot of great emails about how they were a fan of how I did this.
Okay.
I get a lot of great emails about how good I am on this podcast. Right, and, of course, I'm just waiting to get a couple for you.
Right.
But I asked you a series of questions in this section, so I have a few questions for you.
Go. One,
shoot. Have you ever cheated on a test?
I don't think so.
Never?
I really don't think so. I'm too much of a nerd, and I'm a rule follower, and I studied a lot. I am. Did you?
I don't think so.
Right. I think we're just nerdy.
Well, hold on. Yes, not a test, but I had a group of people in Latin.
I
hated Latin.
Hated it. Yeah.
And ironically, I make my kids learn Latin words in English.
Of course.
But learning Latin words is one thing, like trying to speak it and write it was just a nightmare. And we used to take turns. There were like four or five of us of like, I'll do the homework Monday, you do the homework Tuesday, you do the homework Wednesday, and then we would swap it.
Isn't that just being efficient? I don't know. I don't know if is that cheating? I don't. You're cheating yourself from learning. Right,
but I would never cheat on a test. Never cheat on a test.
Yeah, I don't think I did.
Would you have slapped AJ if you were Tony and he said, sucks to be you?
I'd want to. I'd really want to. I don't know. I don't have children. I don't know. But it's that when he slapped him, I was kind of like, AJ, come on. You knew not to say shit like that right now. Just he kind of, I don't want to say he deserved it because I don't know if I believe that anyone deserves to be hit. But like, yeah, if anyone deserved to be hit, it was AJ right now.
I'll say this. I would like to think I would not hit my children, and I strive that I never will. I never have, and I really never will. But I don't flinch when he hits him.
Right. It's like he's Tony Soprano. He's going to hit you if you say that to him. Right. Go exactly. Right, it's like the character it fits.
Could I be in the mob? There's a discussion about whether or not AJ would survive. Could I be in the mob?
I'd be in the mob before you were in the mob. That's my answer. And I couldn't be in the mob either. So there you go. That's the answer.
And my final question. Would you ever go sit with a stranger with a Starbucks?
That was the weirdest line ever. Like, it was Starbucks just like new?
Well, right. First of all, sitting with a Starbucks. Do you mean at a Starbucks?
No, I think she means I was going to go have a cup of coffee. I'm going to go sit with a cup of coffee.
Sit with a cup of Starbucks?
Yeah.
But have you ever met someone and that quickly gone, yeah, I'll hang out with you?
No. And I think it's actually, I think it's like they force the writing. Because I think Adriana would be like, she doesn't even flinch. She just goes, yeah, sure. It's strange. Like no one, especially, listen, I hate to say this because I do think we've had this argument that I think New Jersey people, we're not as mean as people think we are stereotypically.
Mm-hmm.
But that is weird for New Jersey to just meet a stranger and start like, for sure, talk to someone. Great. Fine. You're not going to go hang out with them now.
Do you think it would have been weird if it was a man? Let's assume she's single. She doesn't have Christopher. What if it was a man flirting with her and then he said, do you want to go get a cup of coffee?
Yeah, that is different.
Do you think then you could believe, okay, she'd go?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
It's almost as if they ran into each other maybe again 3 days and go, hey, didn't I meet you in the store? Like that would be more realistic.
Yeah.
It's weird just in the moment. Like, aren't they busy? Aren't they like Adriana isn't running errands? She has to go to a friggin' repast or wake or whatever. Like,
there's always time to sit with Starbucks.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was weird.
I do have a couple more things, but those were my like questions for you. Without spoiling anything, but based on what you know about AJ's future, do you think AJ should have gone to military school?
No.
We'll leave it at that. We don't want to get too detailed. If Dad ever handed Mom a drink and said, hold this, and head it towards one of us, how frightened on a scale of 1 to 10 would you have been?
Frightened. Very, like, 9? Because you know what? I'd be shocked. So that's like that 1. That's not quite a 10. Like, it's a 9. Okay. Like there'd be a part of me going, oh God, what's happening? Like, how? And then it's like, oh God, run. I'd be more scared for you. I'd go, run, Joseph, run.
But Mom, I could never imagine doing that. And Mom was, I mean, she was the disciplinarian. I mean, she was the tougher of the two.
Yeah.
But I think Dad was the scarier because it was a quiet,
right,
stealth anger.
And we've said this many times. It just rarely occurred where he was mad like that.
But hold this. It's hold my beer before hold my beer.
Right. It's hold my beer. I got to go. He's going after Meadow, right?
He's going after Meadow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she does, scared, by the way, get up. I mean, she's drunk and says, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm going, acting tough. But I think she's terrified.
Yeah.
She knows she did it.
Yeah, she knows. Yeah, that'd be scary. I'm surprised, actually, that Carmela doesn't go after them.
When Tony Soprano hands you wine and says, hold this, that's it. It's done. Listen, here's the irony. She was mad when he hit AJ. But if he hit Meadow, she'd be fine with it.
No, I disagree.
She's had it. She's pissed about the car.
I also don't think Tony would ever, ever, ever hit Meadow.
Would never hit Meadow.
No, absolutely.
And never does. It's
it's never going to happen.
But I think that Carmela kind of needs her to be slapped, like metaphorically.
Sure.
Slap okay. Her. You got to do something. We're going to lose her and some, you know.
Okay.
So I did something a little different with our notes.
Okay.
Because we have cannolis and I've got a bunch, but I also made a whole other slide of not cannolis, but like the cliffhangers. There's a lot, as you said earlier, there's a lot of like, okay, these are what we're going to deal with. Right. What do you want to do first?
Cannolis.
Okay.
I have one.
You have one.
I have one. It says, Johnny says, I don't stick my beak in. Again, he says that again. I don't stick my beak in.
But then literally does.
Literally the second he says it, he's doing that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to go through these quick because I don't want to explain a lot of them.
Yeah, go.
Janice sitting on Ralphie's lap. Agent Cicerone. Janice giving Mr. Cazzarelli a CD. For not the first time, but I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but in the credits, there is an actress credited for playing the character, quote, 2 to 5, 7 to 9.
What does that mean?
We will eventually learn what that means.
Okay.
But there is a character and an actress labeled like as 2 to 5, 7 to 9.
What? Okay.
There's this established foil in this episode of we've watched Tony and his treatment of his mother, but now we're going to constantly see Paulie and his mother as a contrast. Started with the fact that Green Grove, and I particularly love her pause. My son puts me in a place like this.
Because you think she's going to be, I can't believe you're doing this to me.
What's the matter?
My son lets me live in a place like this. He's such a good boy.
Yeah, well, who's the queen, eh?
And then she's so happy. So that's kind of something that's going to keep going.
It's so cute. She's so cute.
Within the episode, we see Ray Ray, played by Omar from The Wire. He tells Jackie, you're done for.
Yeah, right before it happens. Shot. Yeah.
AJ almost going to military school. Tony wants Meadow to get far, far away from him. Major Zwingli saying that we put kids on drugs after we confuse them too much. Mm-hmm. Johnny Sack smoking behind Ginny's back. This is an inconsistent cannoli. I don't know how to read this, but Paulie says that Ma's alone. That's when he leaves the wake. He implies that she's no longer in Green Grove because he can't afford it because you gave me only $12,000. But in season 4, she's at Green Grove. So I don't know.
Maybe they just comment on it in season 4 and you don't remember.
Maybe. So I'm going to throw that out there. A few more. Bobby crying at the repast. Artie's arm around Charmaine at the repast.
Wait.
Don't forget, they're separated.
Wait, but look, that look he gives Adriana is pathetic.
Yes.
He is just, Artie, you're a cartoon. Yes.
The kid section of the funeral. We are going to see that image again.
Okay.
Not the same kids, but that table and like this is where the youth sit.
Sure.
We're going to see that again. And finally, one of my favorite ones, Meadow runs into traffic away from Tony.
Nice.
In this season finale.
Love it.
And again, this is, all of them are, you know.
Yeah, sure.
If you're watching it for the first time, just all of that is important. If you are someone who's watching it for the 20th time, you know all of those and you're going, yes. Beck is going, yes. Beck is going, yes. Yes, I know those.
So the start of season four, you're saying these cliffhangers kick off.
We got a lot. For a show that doesn't have cliffhangers, there's a lot of like, let's set up season three. Maybe
season
more than
four.
Season four. Season two's finale did not do this.
No, neither did season one.
So season one is practically a series finale. Like
exactly.
We could have just gone, that's it.
Yep.
This was like, all right, we're here, motherfuckers. We're back, and here we go.
Yeah.
We've already talked about Adriana, you know, has just made a friend who's actually an FBI agent. Junior says, I still have my trial.
Yeah.
Like he's got a trial coming up.
Again, I like that he says, I beat cancer. Now I'm going to beat the can.
It's a great line.
That's
a
cute.
Great line. You know, again, Janice sitting on Ralphie's lap. I mean, that's a, what the fuck was that?
Weird. And in front of everybody, and Rosalie's not there, and her son's dead.
Right.
Like, it's so
disrespectful. And no one drinks an eye.
No one drinks an eye. It's so disrespectful.
Even Tony kind of like, not nods to Ralphie, but kind of like a...
You'd think he'd have a different reaction, I agree, than what he did, yeah.
And then you've got Paulie basically flirting with the New York family. Like, you got this going. So all four of these things, I mean, really are season four. Like, they're four of the huge things that we're going to explore next season.
All right, anything else, Joseph?
Yeah, I got a few things.
Okay, I do too. I'm going to go first. So the head of the FBI director dude telling the guy to shut up by saying, you know, where did you start? Because the agent says, you know that she's only ever done background checks. I think that's just a cool boss moment for that guy. You're a good dude. Also, okay, Rosalie's completely right. Why is no one at Jackie's wake?
It's the Super Bowl.
No. That is absurd that no one is at Jackie's wake. People would have gotten whacked for not showing up to Jackie Jr.'s wake. What are they doing? Where is everybody?
I think a lot of people think he's dead already because he drowned in the penguin exhibit.
Oh my God. I think that's really, that doesn't make sense to me. Imagine a bunch of Italian people not going to a 22-year-old of your friend's wait, like that just does not fit at all. I don't care.
Well,
that's a Super Bowl.
Where
that's
are
ridiculous.
All his frat brothers?
Right. Good point. Where are his frat?
On their honeymoons.
On that. Right. Everyone just got married. I am so. That is so confusing. That wake would have been the one you got to stand for like 17 hours to get inside. That doesn't make any sense.
You are correct.
Christopher really poured his heart out to Tony, and Tony is just not having it. And I think Tony's being a little bitch about it. Christopher was being genuine, and I think he could have been like, yeah, man, it's okay. Jackie's in a fucking coffin. He can't hug Christopher.
I don't agree with you. I don't think Christopher's being genuine.
Oh, I do. I do. But even if he's not being genuine, like, he's still putting the effort in to say, like, Tony, thank you. You know, I think Tony's giving him a hard time when it's not really called for.
Well, I, for argument's sake, I'll agree with you, but I will say that is yet another thing that we need there to be tension between them in order for season four, episode one particular to make sense.
Okay. So it's another setup. Okay.
Correct.
Johnny Sack says to Paulie when he's smoking the cigarette, what are you making, Manest? And I did not understand what that meant, so I looked it up.
I don't either.
It's short for minestra, which is minestrone. So he's saying, like, are you stirring up soup? Are you stirring up shit?
Are you stirring the pot?
Sure.
Oh,
which
okay.
I just think is, I thought that was a bad line, but that's what it means.
But that's such a good line because we don't really need to know what it means, but that's what Johnny Sack would say.
Yeah. I go back and forth with how much I like Johnny Sack. And in this episode, I really like Johnny Sack.
And he is a bigger character in the rest of the show.
That's another setup. He's yeah. gonna, like, he's now going to be a character. That's not a spoiler. He's going to be a character.
He's not going
to
stick his beacon.
Well,
he's not. It's a big beacon.
I don't think so. He's going to remind us like a bunch of times. Well, he has reminded us. I actually don't know if he does it again. We'll keep an ear out.
I don't think he does. He just does. He just puts
does.
His beak
yeah.
in.
He just
does. Denying it. He's like, my beak's here. So I have a few things. You know, again, I always talk about actors with Emmy Awards. No actors put in for this episode, nor was this episode put up for anything. But we're at the end of the series. This season did not win the Emmy for Best Drama. Instead, it went to season 2 of The West Wing. Now, it's worth noting that any West Wing fan will admit that, yes, season 2 is their best season. But the fact that this show does not win an Emmy Award for Best Series until season 5 is ridiculous. And then it won't win again until season 6B, which is really just season 7. So it only wins twice.
Don't you
seven
think,
years.
Don't you think it says a lot, though, that the best seasons of this show are the last ones? Like, usually by this point, you're kind of like, oh, God, like, let it go.
It's true.
It's so good the entire time.
Yes. Are season 5 and season 7, though, the best seasons?
We'll probably do a rank an episode, rank a seasons. We'll do this at the end,
yeah.
but they're really good. I'm not like, oh, why are those the ones that, you know, they're really good.
All right. You're right. You're right. But anyway, that's my little Emmy spiel.
Okay.
Welcome to the show. Lola Glondini, who plays Agent Cicerone or Danielle.
Wait, you told me it was Daniela like an hour ago.
Is it Daniela?
I don't know. You told me it was Daniela.
Danielle. It's Danielle. It's not Daniela.
Okay, whatever.
It's Danielle.
We'll confirm next
season.
I'm
a moron. I'm not cutting shit out. It's fine.
Yeah, okay.
I'm a moron. It's fine. It's Danielle. Danielle, Daniela. Hold on. It's Agent Cicerone.
Danny to me now. Go ahead.
She is not the original. When this originally aired, an actress named Flaruza Balk was the actress. And originally she was told she loved the show. She said, I just want to do a guest spot. I want it to be quick. I want it to be painless. And then after the episode, they said, listen, we're bringing you back season 4. And she said, no, that's not what I wanted. So even though it aired with another actress, they went back and refilmed the scenes with Lola Glondini for DVD and reruns. And
shut
you can on YouTube
up.
You can on YouTube watch the other actors. Now, you know the other actress. She's in things. I guess most famous for the movie The Craft with the four witches.
Okay.
Nev Campbell and her. She's the other one. She's the main girl.
I'm so flustered. I've never heard of a show doing that before.
Yeah. Usually like in pilot episodes, it happens.
But to go back and refilm that I've never heard.
Seinfeld did it all the time. George's father was not Jerry Stiller in the first episode, but if you now in reruns and on the DVD, it is Jerry Stiller. They refilm the scenes.
Oh, I think that's so strange. That's really weird. Okay.
Yep.
Cool. Well, that's fun.
Larry David played Newman as a voice in season 1, 2, before Wayne Knight played Newman. And they went back and took Wayne Knight and overcut the voiceover. So it wasn't
Larry
David. Why?
Like, that's just so...
They just
once it's
like,
out there, you can't, like, go back and rewrite. Like, that's just weird.
But I bet most people don't even realize, though. And I'm sure they watched it when it aired, and it was such a little scene that they didn't realize.
Sure, but that's exactly why I think it's strange to go back and fix it. It's like, okay, it's another chick with big hair. She's not, like, a character yet. Like, we don't know her yet. Right. Okay.
Lola
anyway.
Glondini, by the way, went on to be, I think she did the first 2 seasons of Criminal Minds. She was so good on that show, and I think it was a big mistake that she left. I think she wanted to be a movie star, and I think she Shelley Longed it.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, because she's great very in this. Good. She is really good, and she gets better.
Yeah.
Welcome to Francis. I don't know how to say this name.
Ensemble.
Like ensemble, but sure. Ensemble. Who plays Paulie's mother, Nucci. She's delightful. She passed away in 2017, but she's wonderful. And I think she might have one of the greatest first lines of the series.
How do I open this door?
Yeah, I do like her a lot.
Bravo to guest stars Toby Bell, who plays the sergeant. I love him. I think he's one of the great character actors. Great villain in 24 on one of the seasons. But more importantly to our horror fans, he's Jigsaw.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he's Jigsaw in the Saw movies. So
cool.
That's exciting. Cool. And of course, we keep calling him Omar and whatever from the Boardwalk show. But Michael K. Williams, the late, great Michael K. Williams. Mm-hmm. He's amazing on this, and he really is amazing as Omar. And if I know that we love The Sopranos, and I would say it's the best rewatchable series of all time, but I think it's arguably to say I do think The Wire is the greatest television show of all time. I just don't think I can sit through it over and over again because it's so heavy and so deep. But his character of Omar is easily one of the five greatest characters of television. He's amazing on that show.
Tough line to say on a Sopranos podcast, but I will let you be you.
I don't think a lot of people would argue it.
Yeah, I know. We'll ask. Mm-hmm. So we'll ask Daddy when he comes on the show.
He will agree with me.
Will he?
He'll absolutely agree with me.
He'll say The Wire is the greatest show of all time. The whole time.
Oh yeah.
No,
oh yeah.
That's gonna be
plan.
Fun. That's gonna
the
be
plan.
Fun.
Spoiler alert: Dad's coming on next season. He's
woo!
Coming. We got him.
We got him. He's coming. We finally convinced him. He's going to yell at me for cursing right in front of everybody.
You can't curse on that episode.
No, of course not. Oh, my
you
God.
Can't.
Of course
you
not.
You can't. No.
No.
You should just wear a nun's outfit. Just come on. just a few quick more little things. This show has a great way of having Johnny Sack make subtle, unaware jokes, tongue-in-cheek
so
jokes
funny.
About Ginny's weight. And when he says Ginny can get heavy, that's just one of many that are coming. I just love how they do it. But no one acknowledges it. No one goes, rolls their eyes like, yeah, she can. Like, it's just, it's terrific. But he does love her so
he does.
Much.
He loves her. I think that's a part of why I go back and forth with him, because he is going to get annoying. And like he has moments if you're like, Johnny, can you not? But he just, it's hard not to love him because of that.
Especially there's an episode in early season four, that really, like, he loves her. Like, you really see how much he loves her.
And he's just a good actor, and just his character so good. So I go back and forth with him. But anyway.
I have a little bit of a bullshit plot moment. I do love how the principal bluffs about your DNA test.
Oh, yeah. Great move.
But how did he know that both of them peed?
Two different streams on the wall. Like, it's clear that two people peed.
Okay, I accept that.
Okay, I don't pee like that, so I'm surprised that I figured that out.
But I was like, you called them out on the like, yeah, wow, I think you took a risk on that one.
I think it's just obvious that there were two of them. I think it just has to be obvious. My thing is, how does he know it was the two of them? But we answered that already. It was because they had the 96s together and they were like, you're dumbass.
Right.
I got it. But I think you could look at it and go, two people peed.
All right. That's fair. Listen, I'm just going to say something. Junior, when Pussy ran from the FBI, now we know in hindsight he wasn't, but Junior looked at him and said, we don't run. Okay, Junior. Well, you fucking ran when you saw the FBI at the funeral.
No, but Joseph, he's in a different situation right now.
You're the boss. You stand there. You fucking stand there and you take it.
He's about to go on a trial, though. Like, also, they're like not running at him. They didn't even see him yet. I would get back in the car and go the other way. No, they know. We know that they care. They're talking about Junior beating cancer and going after him in the FBI room.
Yeah, but Junior's not involved in the Super Bowl stuff. They're
sure.
only getting Silvio, Chris, and Patsy because they know
whatever
that
his name is.
Bookies. Sure, it's Patsy.
Every then, year, it's so good. It's so good.
And just, you know, I love to imagine how much fun that group had filming that final scene. That
so
had
fun.
To have been a blast.
Everyone crying, AJ looking like shit, Meadow drunk. Right. Yeah, you're right. It was, they probably had a good time.
You know, and funerals were probably the only time that they got to really have this much fun on the series.
Truly.
Yeah.
Truly. I mean, this season was Livia.
Right. Like you had these two amazing funeral scenes, and I bet they were just a freaking blast to just sit there.
You're so right. You're so right. You know, that makes me think so much has happened this season. We started with a weird FBI episode. Remember the first thing? Then Livia passes. Jackie Jr. dies. Gloria has come and gone. Like so much has occurred. Right? Meadow dated Noah. Then
right.
Jackie.
She had two serious boyfriends.
Right. Carmela has an epiphany. Goes to see therapist. Carmela meets Melfi in this season.
Mm-hmm.
Just so much.
Melfi's attack.
That was this season.
That was this season.
Oh,
I mean,
my God.
The Trinity
so
of Violence.
Is
like,
this
the Trinity
season.
Of Violence doesn't even involve the things you all said. Those are three completely different episodes.
It really so much happens in this season, and the West Wing, as a reminder, beat it. Just so you know, just because I know that makes you happy.
And if people know the West Wing, that's the MS season. It's the season where we learn he has MS. Everyone learns, and the last five episodes of that season are amazing. And it ends with the Two Cathedrals episode, and it's absolutely phenomenal. I get it. And Martin Sheen does a monologue in Latin. Everyone knows it. It's like, you know, he tells God to fuck off in Latin.
He did his Latin homework.
He did his Latin homework, though lost the Emmy to James Gandolfini for this season, which at least that. We at least acknowledged Edie and James.
Okay.
In this season.
Okay.
This season. I learned something too. I'll leave you with this, which is an interesting Emmy thing that I learned that I didn't know. When you're a supporting actor, you get to submit two episodes.
Yeah.
Because you're supporting. So you have to like give them a mix of your work. But when you're the lead, you only submit one. Which I think is interesting.
Oh, that is interesting. Huh. We talked about that a little bit before, but I don't think we knew the answer. So that thank you for clarifying. That's really interesting.
I wasn't positive.
Cool.
Of that.
All right.
Wrap
Joseph.
It up.
Thanks for a great season.
Yeah.
And a lot has happened for our season three, Joseph. I would like to thank all of our very special guests, Jessica Berger-Vitalo, Nick Norsha, Jacqueline DeVella, Mikey Krennic, Ryan Marr, and Becca Riley.
All fantastic.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you all so much. And thank you to our listeners for analyzing season 3, episode 13, Army of One with us, and all of season 3. That's all from us for now. Talk to you soon when we discuss next episode, season 4, episode 1, For All Deaths Public and Private. See you for the season 4 premiere. This has been The Sibling Sit Down. Thanks for listening to The Sibling Sit Down. Please remember to like or follow the show on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. So you never forget about it.